Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good morning. It's 8:30 on Tuesday, March 26th. I'm Desiree Frazier. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. On today's show, the issue of abortion is back before the U.S. Supreme Court today over a widely used drug for chemical abortions and whether the FDA has the authority to make it more accessible. Then Jackson's water provider says everyone should pay what they owe, but residents say the new bills are still wrong. That's from the Gulf States Newsroom. Plus, wages and health care access remain top priorities for the Mississippi Black Women's Roundtable. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. One of the most widely used drugs for medication abortions is at the center of a case before the U.S. Supreme Court today. Mifepristone tablets are one of two drugs used in medication abortions. It accounts for 63% of the more than 1 million abortions in the U.S. last year, according to the Guttmacher Institute. Changes in FDA regulations in 2016 and 2021 allow for the pill to be sent across state lines through the mail. And this means patients in states like Mississippi with abortion bans can still have the medicine shipped to them by out-of-state healthcare providers. The group that brought the case before the U.S. Supreme Court, the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine, argues the FDA has failed to properly regulate this abortion method. Michelle Colon is executive director of Shiro Mississippi, which stands for Sisters Helping Every Woman Rise and Organize. She says if the court rules against the FDA, it could disrupt access to the drug in states where abortion is legal.
Because it will make it illegal to obtain the misoprostol. Second of all, this is a direct challenge to a government regulation agency, you know, basically saying that the FDA was wrong and how dare they, you know, make this conclusion that this medication is safe. Third and lastly and most important is that this is just another senseless attack against abortion by anti-abortion activists. I mean, these people who brought this case, they are not medical professionals. They are anti-abortion activists with the long-term goal of making sure that abortion access throughout this country is obliterated.
Tell us, using these drugs, how an abortion is done.
There's two ways of doing this. And so with the two-drug system, you have the misoprostol, which we call MIFI, right, which is a drug that is at the heart of this case. That is the pill that is taken, and what it does is that it stops the hormone progesterone from fertilizing the egg. So basically what it does is that it will stop the pregnancy from continuing, right? It stops the fertilization of the egg. A pregnant person would take that pill, and then I would recommend people take it 24 hours later. You would take misoprostol, which are four pills. You do not swallow those. You would put those in the inside of your mouth, either underneath your tongue or in between your cheek and your gums, and you would let those four pills sit there and let them dissolve for about 30 minutes. After the 30 minutes, you would go ahead and swallow the remnants of that. And then within about, you know, anywhere between 4 to 6 hours, your miscarriage will begin. The miso causes the uterus to contract and basically causes the miscarriage. So it will expel whatever contents that are in the uterus. This is a procedure that is used in hospitals. Misoprostol is safe as well. The mifepristone, or the MIFI as we call it, you know, has been used in countries even before it was made available here in the U.S. And so there's no harm to be expected in using this medication. This is just a common way that people have been self-managing their abortions, and it is the method that everyone, those of us in my movement, has resorted to in regards to the I'm getting teared up. I'm sorry, Desiree. I'm sorry. It's just that it's a common method of self-managing one's abortion. It has become common and more popular because of the Dobbs decision almost 2 years ago.
Can you stop a pregnancy with just that one pill, Missy, or misoprostol?
Yes. Now, the misoprostol, that is the second method. You can do that by itself. So if the Supreme Court decides in favor of the alliance, that will leave the self-managed abortion access still available, but to use just the one dose medication, which is the misoprostol or miso. So what that is that you would have to take more than four pills. That dosage is a 12-pill dosage. And what you would do is, again, you don't swallow it. You would put four pills and either underneath your tongue or in between your cheek and your gums. And you would do that. You would take four, and then you would wait 3 hours. After that, you would take another four and then wait 3 hours and then do another four. And then the same process will occur, you know what I'm saying, anywhere between 4 to 6 hours.
The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled to roll back the prescribing of mifepristone to 2011 levels.
Yeah, back then the court said that, you know, you couldn't do the medical abortion or self-managed abortion after 7 weeks. That was something that they put into place. But, you know, the U.S. FDA, when it was made available, their testing, their studies have shown that these two medications are indeed successful and effective up to 12 weeks pregnancy. So, again, that was another barrier that the courts, you know, place against abortion access.
Michelle Colon is a self-proclaimed abortion freedom fighter with Shiro, Mississippi. She mentioned in the interview the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine, the group challenging the use of the abortion pill, isn't comprised of health professionals. However, the Alliance is a coalition of medical organizations. The law that triggered following the Dobbs decision in Mississippi prohibits abortion related to telemedicine visits with out-of-state doctors, but many people ignore that rule or leave the state to have medical visits legally. That's according to Lori Bertram Roberts. She's executive director and co-founder of Mississippi Reproductive Freedom Fund. Roberts tells our Kobe Vance these pills remain one of the few safe ways folks can get an abortion without having to travel for invasive procedures.
I try to remain minimally optimistic that things will be okay, that they won't side with the complainant that wants to banish mifepristone from the nation, because it's a dangerous precedent to set. The FDA has already set the standard. That's supposed to be what we defer to, is the FDA, the EPA, the DEA. That's what they exist for. And when you take that power away from them, it's going to be dangerous for other things besides just abortion care.
I imagine this probably isn't a surprise to you at all that this is going before the courts, but what were your thoughts hearing that this case would be taken up, especially just a couple of years after the Dobbs decision?
It just reminded me and made it really real that these people are not going to stop. The ones who are pushed for the end of Roe v. Wade, the anti-abortion activists who pushed to define embryos as people, like in the Alabama IVF case, people who believe birth control is abortion, are not going to stop at just abortion. And everyone needs to be really, really aware of that.
What do you think this pill means for people in Mississippi who really don't have access to other relatively simple forms of reproductive health?
Yeah, it's the reason they're attacking abortion pills is because they haven't figured out a way to control them, right? They know people in places like Mississippi and Alabama and the rest of the South are still getting medication abortions, possibly by mail, and that they also are driving all the way to Illinois to get their medication abortion regimen. The thing is I don't think we would be here if it wasn't for the fact that like 65%, I believe, of early abortions are done with pills. They wouldn't care if it wasn't kind of like the preferred way of having an abortion.
What do you think this could mean for Plan B?
Yeah, I think people should be very, very aware that if they are able to chip away at this access to medication across borders in states, they also believe that Plan B is the abortifacient. They will not stop at just mifepristone. It'll be Plan B next, and it'll be, you know, like the O-pill that's just now coming out to be on the shelves in drugstores. It'll be all of those other things that people haven't even necessarily thought about as being targets.
What have you been seeing since the overturning of Roe v. Wade, or I should say the Dobbs decision?
It's been harder for people to access care. You know, people drive routinely all the way to Illinois, sometimes all the way to southern Florida. It hasn't stopped people from seeking abortion care. It's just made it really, really, really hard. And it's also made some people stay pregnant who medically shouldn't necessarily be still pregnant. It just took away options from people across the spectrum, whether it's, you know, you just don't want to be pregnant is a good enough reason. But there's all these other hosts of reasons, too, and it's all in the same bag now. Everybody gets restricted. No one can have access.
Where do you see the fight for reproductive rights being right now? Is it just defending the rights that we still have, or is it going ahead and trying to take back the rights that might have been taken away?
Yeah, we need to work on defending and expanding. Even Roe v. Wade was never, we always say it was the floor, not the ceiling, right? It was the bare minimum that could be done, you know, that kept abortion legal. It didn't work on accessibility for abortion care. It didn't work on healthcare being a right for people. That those things were not always connected. But I also see this pendulum swinging back already, right? One of the reasons that we know they don't want to do the ballot initiatives again is they're scared of putting abortion on the ballot because every state that has happened in has now legal abortion care.
Laurie Bertram Roberts is co-founder of the Mississippi Reproductive Freedom Fund. Coming up, Jackson's water provider says everyone should pay what they owe, but some residents say their new bills are still wrong. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.
Southern Remedy Healthy and Fit provides information on how you can lead a healthy lifestyle. I'm the host, Josie Bidwell. Search for and subscribe to Southern Remedy on any podcasting app to not miss any episode.
On-air portion of the MPB Think Radio spring campaign is complete, and we are back to uninterrupted programs. We are filled with gratitude to those who took a stand for everything you hear on Mississippi Public Broadcasting. Hey, if you missed your opportunity to take part, just visit mpbonline.org. Again, thanks from all of us at MPB.
This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. I'm Desiree Frazier. It's time for our March Utility Bill of the Month. Jackson residents have dealt with more than a decade of missing and inaccurate water bills. The city is trying to fix the troubled system and make sure everyone pays what they actually owe. But Stephen Basaha, the Gulf States Newsroom, reports some Jackson residents say their new bills still have problems.
The first Jacksonian we got to meet is Catherine Lacey. She's lived in the city all her life.
I just like it here. I was born and raised. It's all I know.
Now, by Jackson standards, Lacey is lucky. For about 20 years, she's lived in her home, and her water bills have arrived every month like clockwork. She's got them all printed and ready to show off.
$82.79 for the following month, then $64.63. And then another one, 80.
What makes this unusual is that seemingly everyone in Jackson has had some water bill nightmare over the last decade, or at least know someone who has. Jackson's water system has historically been underfunded, and faulty water meters installed across the city a decade ago only made matters worse. And if you didn't receive an expensive bill, well, it's probably because you didn't get one at all, because lots of water bills just went missing.
$82.85.
You might have a Jackson record for most bills in a row.
Yes.
Our second Jacksonian has not had Lacey's luck. Jeremy Brown moved to the city about 4 years ago, and for most of that time, he didn't receive any water bill. That had him worried.
What should I do if they come cut it off? You know, can they cut it off because I haven't received one, or water must be free down here or something? You know, we won't receive the water bill, so.
Hey, no water bill sounds pretty good. But it's not like Brown was able to take advantage of that. Because you got to understand that Jackson has long suffered from boil water notices, basically warnings to residents that the water is not safe to drink or cook with until the notice ends. So Brown, he does not trust the water.
All my water be jug water, bottle water. You know, it's kind of expensive, you know, buying. You can't even brush, you know, use the water to put on your toothbrush and stuff.
I use bottled water for everything besides bathing and washing clothes.
Now, the alarm bells for both Lacey and Brown came when their situations actually reversed. Lacey was the one in December with a missing bill. So she checked her account online.
I was wondering how much my bill was going to be. And I looked and it said $604. And I had to double look. I said, no, that can't be right.
$600 for 2 months of water. Now, Brown's warning sign came not because of a missing bill. Again, he's used to that. Instead, what's new is he actually got one in January.
I thought it was a check, you know, when I first got it.
Oh, that would have been a much nicer situation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, how much was it on that water bill?
It was $1,375.
Nearly $1,400. Now, Lacey, she called Jackson Water to see what was going on. And the person on the other end says,
well, you have a leak on your property.
You think there could be a leak?
No. I don't think, because I don't see any water on the outside or inside. So I don't think it's a leak. It's a glitch in the system, because I'm not the only one in Jackson having a problem with the water system.
Several Jacksonians messaged us since January saying they had bills that just didn't seem right. Either it was an expensive bill blamed on a leak like Lacey's, or it was a situation like Brown's. His bill actually said he didn't owe much for January, about $120. Really, the trouble came from a line saying he had a remaining balance of nearly $1,300. Brown thinks they're charging him for previous months, months where he says, again, he never received bills.
If they would have been on top of it, I could have been right there with it. So
it's hard to budget for a bill when you haven't been receiving one for a year.
Thank you. Thank you. So, you know, if you're thinking every month you've been $116, it's not hard to pay compared to just up and just pay $1,300, you know.
There's no standard for how far back utilities should go for charging customers for missing bills. It could be months, it could even be years. Jackson Water did not respond when asked about its policy. The utility does offer payment plans, and Brown says he'll look into that. Meanwhile, Lacey, she's still fighting her bills. A plumber did not find any sign of a leak, and he's coming back to check. In the meantime, she's got another bill, and now her balance is about $1,100. Lacey's on a fixed income, and paying so much for water is not something she can afford.
Oh, I'm just frustrated about it. It just, sometimes I have sleepless nights. I have dreams about it, and I just ask God he got to fix it.
You have dreams about the water problems?
Yes, it's so high. Dream that my water going to get cut off and I'm not able to pay it, so it's not fair.
Some utilities will wipe clean whatever someone owes if they could prove they have a leak. Jackson Water did not say if it's one of them. For the Gulf States Newsroom, I'm Stephen Basaha.
The Gulf States Newsroom is a partnership between Mississippi Public Broadcasting and public radio stations in Alabama and Louisiana. To share your own utility bill story, visit MPB online and search for Utility Bill of the Month. Next, wages and health care access remain top priorities for the Mississippi Black Women's Roundtable. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.
Southern Remedy Healthy and Fit provides information on how you can lead a healthy lifestyle. I'm the host, Josie Bidwell. Search for and subscribe to Southern Remedy on any podcasting app to not miss any episode.
MPB Think Radio airs local programs every weekday morning at 9. It's your chance to learn about Southern cooking, home improvement projects, and more. MPB Think Radio, Mississippi is our mission.
This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. I'm Desiree Frazier. Mississippi lawmakers are addressing several issues this year that could have major benefits for minorities and women in the state. Cassandra Welchlin, executive director of the Mississippi Black Women's Roundtable, says those topics include Medicaid expansion and presumptive eligibility, and that allows pregnant women to go to the doctor for prenatal care 2 months before their application is certified to receive Medicaid. A bill for presumptive eligibility has already been signed into law. But one issue not being discussed this year by most lawmakers is a rewrite of the state's equal pay law. Welsland says she is glad to see health care issues at the top of the docket this year, but hopes lawmakers will revisit equal pay and eliminate any legal loopholes.
In the bill that Mississippi passed, it actually gives employers the right to discriminate based on, you know, past salary history. That is not a good practice, and states have gone to great lengths to really close that loophole. And so that was one of the issues that we worked on this legislative session. Unfortunately, it did not pass. It died in committee. And so we are going to be working in basically what we heard was we've already done that. 2 years ago, we have an equal pay bill, but it doesn't help workers in the state of Mississippi. And then there's another issue, too, has been paid sick and safe leave. We really did get a lot of conversations this legislative session around that. And basically what that is, particularly for domestic violence victims and survivors, is providing more protections for them when they have to take off from work. And so what that means is that they won't lose their job, they won't lose their pay while they're out handling business around transitioning to a safer place or having to attend court hearings.
Do you feel like you made any headway on any of these issues?
We feel like we made headway on particularly the issues around presumptive eligibility. That was great. The House and the Senate, they passed that. And so we're really happy about that because that closed the maternal health issues that we have here in the state, particularly, you know, when we think about, you know, Black maternal health. So that's really good. Medicaid expansion, we felt that we did make some headway, but we're still in that fight right now. The House did really well in passing a good bill. There were some things in that around workplace requirements, work requirements that we don't agree with, but it's now over in the Senate, and we're just waiting for what that bill is going to look like.
The House bill included if the work requirement wasn't approved by the federal government, then they would do without it and move ahead.
Correct.
Just with expanding Medicaid. The Senate
Correct.
Took all of the language out of the House bill and are coming up with their own plan to put in the same House bill. How do you feel about that?
Well, it's a problem. And for us, we're really looking at who is covered in that. From our understanding, it still doesn't cover all Mississippians who really need that health care. There's so much more that the Senate could be doing. You know, we've heard from doctors, we've heard from faith leaders, we've heard from everyday people. And the Senate really has to care about your people. Then you got to be able to make sure that the people who need this health care insurance is covered. And so the Senate has much work to be done in relation to closing that coverage gap. They really need to think about the people. And so right now, you know, we know deadline day is coming up April 2nd. We're going to be activating our network to call their senators and tell them to close that coverage gap, to cover the people that really needs to be covered.
Well, how do you feel about a work requirement? Because the Senate, the chairman of the Medicaid committee says it won't pass the Senate without a work requirement.
We don't want a work requirement. We know that Mississippians are already working. Right. And so for us, it continues this stereotype that people aren't working. What we do know is that people are working every day. And when you put a work requirement on there, particularly, you know, when we think about people who are working, but then sometimes they may not make enough hours in order to meet the financial threshold. And so that's a problem. We know people get sick, you know, all the time, and they still got to have their health care insurance. And so if they get sick and they can't go to work, then they're losing their insurance. And so there are many factors to consider. And so for us, that is problematic. but we also know that people do work. We're talking about a place like Mississippi where poverty is really high and people are working 2-3 jobs just to, you know, make ends meet.
All right. Cassandra Welshlin, Executive Director of the Black Women's Roundtable, thank you so much for speaking with us. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
This has been Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.